Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking about your hearing today on the show. Is your hearing not what it used to be? We'll talk with our guest about hearing loss and what you can do about it. Juliet Sterkins, our guest. She's an audiologist and consumer advocate with the Hearing Loss Association of America. So what hearing problems are you experiencing? What would you like to know about hearing aids, for example? Join in, give a call at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And Juliet Sterkins, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So let's talk first about what it means to be an audiologist. What does an audiologist do?
Well, an audiologist is very concerned, first of all, with hearing loss. But there are a significant number of audiologists who also test balance. Because the balance center and the hearing center are directly connected to each other. So we do a lot of testing, but we also do a lot of counseling people with hearing loss. And, of course, we deal with hearing aids, and we try to treat hearing loss with hearing aids. And if hearing aids are not indicated, for example, if a person has the type of hearing loss that can be corrected through surgery or medical treatment, of course, we would refer to back to either the home physician, the family practitioner, or the otolaryngologist, the ear doctor.
Yeah. So what kind of training does this require? Probably a lot.
Currently, it requires a doctor of audiology degree. It's a professional doctorate, very much like doctors of pharmacy. And it's a four-year degree following a bachelor's degree. My background actually comes from speech pathology. I was educated in the Netherlands as a speech-language pathologist. And then when I moved to the United States, I went back to school to get my master's and then my doctorate degree in audiology.
That
goes back many years, Larry.
Okay. Well, you've recently retired. Speaking of many years back, you've recently retired from your own practice and became a consumer advocate for the American Hearing Loss Association. Why'd you decide to make that your encore career?
I discovered hearing loops. And to make a long story short, hearing aids work. Hearing aids can work very well, but over a relatively short distance. Generally, we talk about the effective range of about 6 feet. But beyond that distance, so for example, when you're in an auditorium or in a theater or you're watching television and your television is a little further away, the hearing aids have trouble picking that up. And I discovered that hearing loops could make a huge difference to my patients in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And hearing loops broadcast the audio from the stage, from the pulpit, direct into the hearing aid via a small coil called a T-coil. And rather than having to reach for sound, like being in the theater on the 20th row, having to reach for that sound, the sound comes right to you because the hearing loop broadcasts the audio via magnetic waves to the hearing aid. And it blew my patients away how well they suddenly could hear. And I was offered an opportunity through grant, through a family foundation, a grant to travel the country and educate consumers as well as hearing care professionals about the benefits of hearing loops. And as you can probably tell, I'm still excited about it because it helps people hear so much better.
Yeah, I could see a use for that probably in churches as well.
Absolutely.
Places like that.
There were no hearing loops, or maybe half a dozen hearing loops when I started in this in the Wisconsin with my advocacy. There's now almost 800 over 400 churches have installed the technology. And part of course, what my education or what my passion is about, that consumers need to know before they get hearing aids that they have to purchase a hearing aid that has that telecoil built into their device, because frequently it cannot be added on. So if you own hearing aids, and if you own devices that T-coil was not built in, you're essentially out of the loop. Oh. You cannot pick up that magnetic signal. Now, there are some roundabout ways we can make that happen, but it's so much easier if it's built into the hearing aid, because you walk into the church. If the church has a loop, you push on a little button on your hearing aid, and the hearing loop sends that audio signal from the microphone direct into the hearing aid.
Wow. Are those expensive?
No. In effect, telecoils have been in hearing aids for over 50 years. And in a lot of the Nordic countries, they're standard. In this country, there's been quite an emphasis on hearing aids that need to be small, that should be small, that should be invisible. But right now, you can purchase hearing aids that are actually quite small, they're nearly invisible, and have that telecoil built in. And if it's built into the device by the manufacturer, it's standard. You don't have to pay extra for it.
Our guest today, Juliet Sterkens, audiologist, consumer advocate with the Hearing Loss Association of America. Excuse me. Let's take a call. Catherine in Menominee Falls, what's on your mind?
I am currently trying to get help for my swimmer's ear, I guess it's called. It's on the outside of the eardrum, the doctors determine. And I've seen two doctors so far and had taken care of all the meds they gave me, and it keeps coming back. And I'm concerned about long-term hearing loss if we don't get this taken care of quickly.
Yeah. Kathy, are you a hearing aid wearer as well?
No, I've never worn hearing aids.
Okay. Now, I am not a physician. I'm an audiologist, and I can give you some common sense. You need to make sure your ears are dry following showering. And some people use a hair blower gently in the ear to make sure that they're dry. There are some over-the-counter treatments that you can purchase, like at Walgreens or CVS. I think they're called Swimmer's Dry, and believe it or not, they are a mixture usually of rubbing alcohol and white vinegar. My patients found that was very helpful. It also reduced the itching in the ear that can be just maddening when you have swimmer's ear. So that's the number one thing you have to do. Sit on your hands. Don't scratch your ears. It's very difficult, but you've got to stop. If you're doing that, stop doing that.
There you go, Catherine. Some good advice there. Thank you very much for calling. Bill in Waukesha, it's your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I have what I believe is tinnitus due to exposure to loud sounds and noises over the years. I recently retired this year, and which will cut down on that. So what are my options? I'm supposed to get a physical at my physician's office. Should I bring that up and then ask for a referral? Because I've never worn any hearing aids, and it varies, you know, as far as the sound level or noise level varies from time to time. And so I just wanted an opinion or at least some suggestions.
It's a good question. And noise exposure is one of the big reasons why people complain of tinnitus or tinnitus. I say tinnitus, you say tinnitus, and hearing loss. Now, if you are seeing your physician for a physical and you're over the age of 65, with a medical referral, your hearing evaluation should be covered. And so that's one thing. Ringing in the ears can be either treated with hearing aids. More than 50% of people who have ringing in the ears also have hearing loss. So if you treat the hearing loss with the hearing aids quite frequently, it gives your brain something to do. It's hearing better, and it kind of diverts the attention away from the ringing, from the tinnitus in the ears. So that would be your first step. Get tested, see an audiologist, and ask if that audiologist is familiar with tinnitus treatment with hearing aids, because a lot of hearing aids now have special listening programs built in that can help you cope better when you have a bad day with tinnitus, for example.
Wow. Interesting. Bill, thank you very much. Good luck. Appreciate your call. By the way, you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call from Ron in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I've lost all my hearing on my left side due to a stroke, and they had okayed digital brain hearing with a cochlear device, but then my heart doctor suggested against it. I wondered if she knew of any kind of a hearing aid device that could help me to hear better.
Hear through both ears?
Well, as I said, I can't tell where noise comes from. I have stereo. I have mono.
Yeah. Okay.
Ron, the cochlear implant is really the only treatment that's available for people who are deaf in one ear or in both ears. But if you have some hearing or hearing loss in your good ear, then there's an option for what is called a bicross hearing aid. And a bicross hearing aid, you do wear two devices, but the device on your deaf ear essentially broadcasts the audio from that side to your better ear. Now, even with that type of device, it may still be difficult to locate, but if your hearing in your good ear is good enough, it will recognize that the sound sounds different when it's picked up on your deaf side. And so you may get some of your localization back. But indeed, you need to consult with an audiologist who's very familiar with cross and bicross technology.
All right, Ron, does that help?
Yes, it does immensely. My hearing on the right side has actually gotten better since the hearing on the left side went away. I guess that's, I don't know if that's normal or not.
I would not know, but if you have near normal hearing, then the device the audiologist would recommend is a cross hearing aid. It only picks up sound from your deaf ear and broadcasts it to your good ear. A bicross hearing aid is actually a hearing aid for the ear that has hearing loss and an extra pickup microphone for your deaf side. And of course, very important, if you only have one ear left, it becomes very important you're careful, you don't use power tools, you wear earmuffs when you mow the lawn or you go trap or skeet shooting, because that's the only ear you have left right now, and you have to treat it very, very gently.
Ron, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Great to have with us today Juliet Sterkins. Juliet is an audiologist, consumer advocate with the Hearing Loss Association of America. Great to have her along. And you can join in, too, with your own questions about hearing. The number to call, or maybe hearing aids, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. Dealing with hearing loss on the show today, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Juliet Sterkins, audiologist, consumer advocate with the Hearing Loss Association of America. Questions, call at 1-800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Let's turn to Dave in Pell Lake next. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Larry, and thanks for taking my call. Dr. Sturkins, I have a question. My fiance has an issue with her hearing. She's had it most of her life, where she finds it difficult to hear or filter out conversations in a noisy environment, and also kind of filter out noise in general. And in addition to that, it's another, I don't know if it's related or not, but if she's holding on to like a piece of long wire or like a barbecue tongue or any kind of long item, she gets a vibration in her ear.
Huh. Interesting. Julianne?
And the audiologist is speechless right now. That's first.
And what's really strange, she has a niece that does the same thing. It's apparently some kind of family thing. I mean, she can hold, if she'll hold up like a piece of clothes hanger or just a metal rod that's like a foot, 2 foot long, it'll start vibrating in her head just by holding on to it.
There must be some natural resonance, perhaps, with the little bones in the middle ear. But her issue that she's reporting about listening difficulties and background of noise can be due to what is called an auditory processing disorder. And some people just naturally have trouble picking out voices from the background noise, even though they don't have hearing loss. On the other hand, it is important because it's often the first sign that something is changing in the ear. So she should be tested very carefully, and her hearing test should include what is called a speech in noise test, or an SIN, a SIN test, a speech in noise test. Now, there are some very interesting programs on the web. One of them is called the LACE program, Listening and Auditory Communication Enhancement. And it's a program that you can do on your computer that attempts to improve your ability to pick out voices from background noise. It's like physical therapy, but for your ears. And that may be something she would want to look into. But getting her hearing tested and having it tested on a regular basis, like every 2 or 3 years, is important.
Dave, thank you so much for calling. As you were talking, Juliet, I was thinking about a television set where sometimes if you're watching a sporting event or something, the crowd sounds wipe out the sound of the announcers. And there is a setting, I believe, on a television set that can switch that around. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. I usually default to turning on my closed captions. I mean, who can understand what they're saying on Downton Abbey, right? Unless you have your closed captions on. So that's how I work around it. But it doesn't work the greatest for sports because then you can't see the score or, you know, you miss part of what's happening on the field. So my husband doesn't always like it.
Okay. Well, I think there's a setting on some sets anyway that can be adjusted for movies versus sporting events or whatever, at least on the newer ones.
And talking about television, that is a big issue for a lot of people who have either beginning hearing loss or not. So frequently getting a sound bar connected to the TV, because some TVs, the sound actually comes from the back of the television. So that affects the clarity. And if you are a hearing aid wearer and have trouble hearing television, a lot of the new hearing instruments come with TV streamers. It's a little dongle that you plug into the TV on the back of the television, and it will broadcast the audio wirelessly, again, to the hearing aids from the television. And of course, the closer you get to the speaker, the better the sound, the easier it is to pick out the voices from the background noise. So that's really been very helpful to my patients, these TV streamers.
Interesting. Steve in Superior, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just looking for a suggestion as far as it goes. My story goes is this. When my wife was young, she was diagnosed with, she had cholesteatoma in her right ear, went through right around a dozen surgeries. So now you can actually look inside of her ear and see her eardrum. Quite a few years ago, her doctor or audiologist had got us talked into this prosthetic hearing aid called a Baha, to where mm-hmm. they infuse or put this plate inside of her head, and they put a stud that sticks out of the side of her head, and she pops the Baja. Our problem is for the past 5-6 years, it's never worked. And every time we go up there, it's a $400 bill for just to have it adjusted and tweaked a little bit. And to go and get a new one is $5,000 or $6,000. Now the stud on the side of her head, she's living without the hearing aid, and she's been doing fine with it, except for it is also debilitating. Can't be out in the cold, can't be in the heat, you know, so there's certain things, and we just don't know what to do at this point.
Yeah. A Baja hearing aid, for the listeners, is a bone-anchored hearing aid, and it's essentially anchored in the mastoid bone behind the ear, kind of bypassing the ear canal, because Steve's wife has what is called a cholesteatoma that's been operated on, and that ear canal can no longer be occluded. Now, there are some audiologists, and with permission from the doctor, it may be possible, again, to try a more conventional air conduction hearing aid, Steve. But it's going to be very, very important that ear mold and how that hearing aid is put into her ear canal be carefully monitored for infections. That would be one option. If she has trouble, for example, watching television, she could wear an earphone on her ear or just in one ear for watching television. That would be helpful. It can also work in the car. There's devices that you can get. One of them is called a pocket talker, and you can use a microphone on a wire. So in the car, you would wear the microphone, she would wear a headphone, and she'd be able to hear you as if you were just inches away from her ear. Those are just some simple solutions, but I think it would be important for you to kind of explore some other options besides the Baja at this point, and you may want to get a second opinion.
Yeah. Steve, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. John in Elko will give you a chance now. Hi, John.
Hi. The question I have is that I had tubes put in my ears because I had to go for some hyperbaric oxygen treatment, and my ears couldn't handle it without the tubes. And the tubes were taken out after the treatment, and the right ear closed up. The left ear has not healed. And the doctor that put in the tubes and took them out is recommending surgery on the left ear to close the hole. And I'm wondering what the recommendation for that is from your audiologist there. I'm kind of reluctant to have surgery unless I know it's going to be effective. Can you give me an idea of what you think?
Yeah, John, thank you for calling in. I am not a physician, and this is really something that needs to be, you know, consulted with an otolaryngologist. Now, a lot of people do live successfully with a perforated eardrum, but it can affect your hearing. And if you're not very young, that may be a double whammy. You may already have a little bit of hearing loss, and now you also have some additional loss because of the perforated eardrum. And as long as you keep that ear dry or wear an earplug when you're showering and washing your hair and prevent water from getting into that ear, you may be able to live well with a perforated eardrum for a long time without doing the surgery. Some surgeries involve just kind of putting a very thin piece of paper over that eardrum, and that kind of allows the eardrum to gently heal under that piece of paper. So it's not a very involved surgery, but I would go back to your doctor and ask him some questions because, you know, they may think lighter of it than you do.
Yeah, for sure. John, thank you so much. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. get you on pretty quickly. Let's go to Jay in Two Rivers now. Hi, Jay.
Good morning. I've got one suggestion and a couple questions. I wonder if it's possible that the two women that are getting a noise in their hearing aids when they hold on to metal, if somehow they are near a strong electromagnetic field, be it our normal AC household power supply or a radio or TV transmitter that is being picked up through that metal and then conducted to the hearing aid. I guess that would depend. That might be location dependent. So that's something that they might think of and pursue that end.
All right.
Also, I have to replace my old hearing aid soon. And about 5 years ago, I went to an audiologist to have a hearing test and an allergy test in hopes that I might clear up my blocked eustachian tubes, which prevents me from equalizing the pressure in the middle ear, and that makes my hearing worse. And the prescription sprays or sinus medication has had no effect. And I don't know if you have any suggestions on that or if there's a different type of specialist that I might see about that.
Okay. And, no, the specialist I would recommend you see is an otolaryngologist who, of course, specializes in treatment of the ear. And I've heard lots of complaints of my patients about their eustachian tube. And, of course, if you already have some hearing loss, then any changes that happen when the eustachian tube is plugged up is, again, a double whammy. It just adds to the hearing loss that you already have. If you're in need of replacing your hearing aids, I could certainly, give some recommendations there. But first, I would rule out that you've kind of explored all avenues for treatment with an otolaryngologist.
Yeah. Well, as long as you mentioned it, Juliet, maybe you could talk about hearing aids in terms of, kind of what you recommend.
As a consumer advocate, I think consumers need to understand that they're going into a long-term relationship with a provider. So as you are searching out providers, you need to be very comfortable with them and trust that they have your best interest at heart. And my number one recommendation is that you ask if your provider follows what are called the American Academy of Audiology best practices. And if it's a hearing instrument specialist, they belong to an organization called the International Hearing Society, and they too offer a list of best practices. That means that your audiologist agrees to follow certain procedures that have been shown in studies to really benefit the consumer. Now, other tests that you should ask for are called real ear tests. A real ear test is an objective test that measures how the hearing aid is doing in the ear. They literally thread a very tiny microphone into your ear canal to verify what the output is of the hearing aid and to make sure that it meets your prescription. Now, and this goes beyond this program, but I would highly recommend, there's a couple of websites that where you can get some good information. One of them is called Hearing Tracker. This is a website definitely for consumers where they discuss the different hearing aids, the different brand hearing aids. You can ask questions there of audiologists. And there is an audiologist by the name of Dr. Cliff Olson. And he puts out tens of videos about hearing aids. It's definitely consumer-oriented. And I really like his video called The Most Important Hearing Aid Video that you'll ever watch, where he explains how real ear testing works. And then, of course, you want to make sure that your audiologist asks you where it is that you want to hear, where it is that you need to hear. If church is important for you, you need to make sure your hearing aid has a telecoil. If you have trouble hearing TV, you make sure your hearing aids have that TV streaming capability. If you go to rotary meetings and you have trouble hearing the speaker there, then your hearing aid should come equipped with a remote microphone. So that whole consumer assessment, you need to be at the center of what it is that you need, that you want, and what you can afford. Because, of course, a lot of these hearing aids can be very pricey, and some options may be not exactly what it is you need or you don't need to pay for.
What can you? You mentioned three different types there. Can they all be in one in a hearing aid?
Yes. So we call that the trifecta of hearing aids. High on the list of a lot of consumers is that they want hearing aids that are rechargeable. They want hearing aids that make it easy to hear on their cell phone. They're called wireless hearing aids. And if they're wireless, they can come with that TV streaming capability. And those hearing aids can have the telecoil built in. But you need to discuss this ahead of time with your audiologist. Now, if your audiologist follows best practices, that ought to be one of the questions on his or her list to ask of the consumer.
Excellent.
And if I can make one more recommendation.
Sure.
I've helped write a buying hearing aids in Wisconsin guide, and it can be found on the HLAA of Wisconsin, the Hearing Loss Association of Wisconsin website. And the guide is called Buying Hearing Aids in Wisconsin. And it's a four-page handout that chock full of information about testing, about the different kinds of hearing loss, about the different types of hearing aids, what you can expect from an audiologist, what kind of verification and testing measurements are necessary, and of course, that your audiologist provides you with a long trial period. Now, trial periods are mandated in the state to be a minimum of 30 days. But you can find a lot of audiologists and hearing aid specialists who will offer 60 or even 90 days. And that gives you plenty of time to work out all the kinks before you decide to keep your hearing aid.
Oh, that's it. Great. Judy in Oshkosh, I think has something that relates to what we're just talking about now. Judy?
Yes,
go ahead.
I wonder if the doctor could, if the audiologist could address the difference in a hearing test that measures volume versus clarity. I had a test recently, and I wasn't aware that there was such focus on those two segments of hearing. Wasn't really aware of that at all. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So your audiologist, with the real ear measurement test, can verify that the hearing aids help you exactly in the range where you have the most hearing loss. So most people complain that they have high pitch. They complain that they have trouble understanding speech. That usually means that the consumer has high pitch hearing loss, and that means it affects the clarity of speech. And the hearing aids can be adjusted to improve the clarity right in those pitch ranges where you have trouble hearing. Now, you do too much of that compensation, the hearing aids may not sound good initially, but the brain is a wonderful thing. You can adjust to these different settings in the hearing aids over time. And I have a really good example. My mother wears hearing aids. And when she came back from her last hearing aid adjustment appointment, she said, "Ooh, it doesn't sound good. I sound so sharp, and I can hear my voice." And within a day, she didn't notice it anymore. And when I asked her, I said, "How does your voice sound right now?" A day or two later, she said, "It sounds just fine." Huh. So you need to give it some time to adjust to it. But if you have trouble with clarity of the hearing aids, you need to go back and see your audiologist.
Judy, thank you again. Yeah, I appreciate the call. Paul in Elmina wondered if it's possible to retrofit a hearing aid that was made for somebody else.
If the hearing aid, and I get that question, if the hearing aid is the type of hearing aid that fits over the ear, behind the ear, in effect, and if the hearing aid is less than 4 or 5 years old, and many audiologists will do this for you, but it will require an appointment for a mold fitting to make sure that it fits right into your ear. It may need different tubing or different wiring on the instrument, and the audiologist will charge you what is called a hearing aid fitting fee. His or her time is frequently far more valuable than the hearing aid itself. And so you need to expect that that visit will definitely incur some expense for you.
Judy in Milwaukee emailed, she has tinnitus and wears hearing aids. Some days and nights the tinnitus is very loud, other days not so much. Any idea why this is? Is it weather, allergies, something else going on?
Well, of course, when you go to bed, it's very quiet in your bedroom. And there's no more noises around you, or if you wear hearing aids, the hearing aids are no longer than the hearing aids that are amplifying the background noises around you help to mask the tinnitus. But then when you go to bed and you take the hearing aids off, the tinnitus may be more noticeable. I've also found that my patients complained more of tinnitus when they were under stress. So if they had a particularly busy or stressful day, then the tinnitus kind of kicked up at night. Some people find benefit listening to podcasts at night so that they can just listen to some kind of noise. There's also noisemakers you can put in your bedroom that make wind noise or wave noise so that it helps to mask the tinnitus. Definitely you want to talk to your audiologist about a specific tinnitus program in your hearing aids if you own hearing aids.
Well, Juliet, this has been a marvelous conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and I hope you'd come back and be with us again sometime.
Would love to do that. Thank you so much for inviting me. And if your listeners have any questions, I can be found on Facebook and on my website, loopwisconsin.com. That's incidentally also where you can find where all the hearing loops are located in Wisconsin. And I'm happy to email with your listeners on a one-to-one basis.
Julia, thank you so much. Look forward to our next visit. Juliet Sterkins, our guest, audiologist and consumer advocate with the Hearing Loss Association of America. And as she said, there's lots of good information on that website as well, the Hearing Loss Association of America. Great to talk with her. We'll have her back and we'll do this again. Lots of good questions and lots of really good answers as well. Well, the Wisconsin Science Festival is celebrating its 10th anniversary coming up. It's this year, and we'll hear some more about that and other science things from Bassam Shakashiri next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.